Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
I want to talk today about the subject of homosexuality. Unfortunately, in the Christian church, there are people with huge platforms speaking out against homosexuality in a way that is unbefitting to Christians. Benny Hinn is just such an example.
The Lord also tells me to tell you in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America. But he will not destroy it with what many minds have thought him to be. He will destroy it with fire. And many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed.
And this is precisely what I'm talking about. Let me point out what was particularly distasteful about that clip. The words of Benny Hinn were disgusting, disturbing. But even more disturbing was the applause from so-called Christians to what he was saying. He was predicting the demise of homosexuals, and people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips applauded. There's a huge story here. And there's no one better to tackle that story than Joe Dallas. He's written an article for the Christian Research Journal. It's called The Bully Pulpit. When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame? Well, can we say they're completely blameless when you hear a clip like that from a man like Benny Hinn? On the other hand, the question is it really fair to target Christians? To say that the rash of teen suicides is a direct result of Christians communicating an anti-homosexual message. There are people who have big profiles. Kathy Griffin is a good example on Larry King saying this very thing. Listen to this.
Do you think, Kathy, that society, heterosexual society, looks the other way?
Look, let's cut the crap. I think that the way that we had trickle-down economics in the 80s, this is trickle-down homophobia. And I really want people to connect the dots. And that's why I believe there's a connection between Prop 8, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and now the string of teen suicides. It's almost sanctioned to bully gay people and treat them as second-class citizens. And I get very nervous when the parents of these so-called bullies defend them, saying, oh, kids will be kids. When you find out that the teen suicide rate is 4 times higher for a gay person, think about how tragic suicide is, period. But why would you want to make it 4 times higher, and for what? These kids are just being themselves.
Now, Lance,
I think a lot of the so-called religious leaders play into it, and the politicians certainly aren't doing enough. There's a lot of very right-wing conservative people that absolutely sanction this behavior, and there's a lot you can do to finally put a stop to it.
I've asked Joe to make sense of all of this. Joe Dallas wrote the article again, The Bully Pulpit, for the Christian Research Journal. But I also want Joe Dallas to make sense of this for us on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is a huge issue You have stories of homosexuals who have been bullied. The testimonies are growing. There's a story here, and we must make sure that in this process we end up reaching rather than repelling. Again, no one better to tackle this subject than Joe Dallas. As always, good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, and as always, good being with you, Hank.
Joe, how do we make sense of this? On the one hand, you have a major, quote-unquote, evangelical voice who says that God is going to kill all homosexuals, and the response from the pews is applause. On the other hand, you have someone like Kathy Griffin, who is, in a sense, saying, connect the dots. If you do, you're going to find out this points directly at the Christian world.
I think extremism breeds extremism, Hank. Yes, there are extreme voices in the body of Christ, and I'm with you. I'm much more disturbed by the Christians who applauded when they heard that homosexuals were going to die than I was by Benny Hinn's statement, which was ludicrous and irresponsible, but it chills me every time I hear a tape of that and listen to people who seem to be celebrating the idea that homosexuals will die. That is an unchristlike, really abhorrent position to take. However, it's also, I think, politically expedient for many gay activists to find any way possible to either silence or at least discredit the church at large. And I think that when I listen to Kathy Griffin's comments that you played earlier, and many others, really, I think that we're entering into a time when the traditional viewpoint on homosexuality that is based on a serious reading of Scripture, that viewpoint is going to be indicted as being dangerous if those who hold that viewpoint can't be persuaded to compromise it. So I think for a couple of decades now, we've seen attempts to persuade traditional believers to compromise their position. By and large, that's not happening. So the next step then is to silence the people who hold that position by promoting the idea that that position is dangerous. Because after all, Hank, who on earth wants to see teenagers of any kind committing suicide? It's an unspeakable thing. And so if gay activists can persuade the culture that the reason young homosexuals kill themselves is because the church makes them feel bad about themselves, then I think the culture, by and large, will consent to the silencing of the church, whether it's through lawsuits or hate crime legislation or even criminal measures, in the interest of saving lives. And so I think what we're basically seeing is an attempt to silence an unpopular viewpoint that is, in fact, a biblically based viewpoint.
Let's talk practicality here for just a few moments. You quote Eminem in this article, and I actually had considered reading your quote on the air as an introduction to this broadcast. And then in conversations with some of my staff, we began to realize, wow, if I did that, I might put the Christian Research Institute into a very precarious position. Eminem can say it, but I can't say it. And I started thinking, you know what? There's a lot of credence to that concern. We really have to watch exactly what language is used on a broadcast, because if we're not prudent, wise as serpent, gentle as doves, we could end up being a huge target unnecessarily.
I'm glad you're thinking that way, Hank. I think we all need to take that seriously. Jesus said, by your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned. And I don't know of any issue where words become more like minefields than this particular issue. But, you know, you bring up Eminem. This is a guy I'm not familiar with. I looked up his lyrics, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I tell you why I couldn't believe it. This guy is popular, okay? I mean, this is a Grammy Award-winning music artist who puts out the most repulsive violent, obscene lyrics, spewing out a hatred of homosexual people. And yet, openly gay Elton John does duets with him, and his CDs sell in the Mega Millions, and he gets by with that with impunity. Now, what we have to ask ourselves is, hey, who is influencing teens to commit violence? If anybody is influencing them, is it the preacher down the street who says that marriage is for a man or a woman, or is it the popular rap artist who sings about how much he would like to do violence to homosexual people? To me, this is a no-brainer.
We're going to be talking about that on the other side of the break. That's precisely the question I want to ask Joe Dallas. What's happening with respect to what is being pumped incessantly into the minds of our teens? We'll be right back with that question. Please don't touch that dial.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and I'm talking to Joe Dallas. He is my go-to guy whenever we talk about this particular subject. Of course, he is literate in many other areas as well, but on this area, we need a voice of reason that we can learn from. And Joe, one of the things that I appreciate about your life and ministry is not just your message, but the manner in which you model the communication of the message. And that's one of the things I want you to address. How significant our rhetoric is. How important it is to reach as opposed to repel. How significant it is for a Christian not to isolate a group as though these people ought to be destroyed, as opposed to seeing all people as being those that need the redeeming power of Christ.
Yes. If I can make this very personal for a minute, Hank, as you know, and we've talked about this before on your show, I was an active member of the gay community from 1978 to 1984. And I went into that community as a backslidden Christian. I joined the pro-gay church and promoted for many years the idea that homosexuality and Christianity were compatible. Looking at it now, I can see I was in rebellion. I was also very deceived. But I will tell you this. At that time, there were so many Christians speaking about this issue with an almost obsessively harsh tone. You know, when they talked about many sins, they'd get somewhat excited. When they talked about this one, they'd go ballistic. And I would hear sometimes the most outrageous things said by Christian leaders. Things like, all homosexuals are child molesters, or all homosexuals are wildly promiscuous and dangerous people. And here's the bottom line, Hank. Every time I heard that, that made it so much easier for me to tell myself I was right. Because the people who believed homosexuality was wrong so often spoke in such unreasonable ways that it made it so easy for me to ignore their position on homosexuality and to believe that I was in the right. So believe me, when people go off on tangents against homosexuals, I'm not talking about calling homosexuality a sin. I'm talking about the kind of statement you played earlier by Benny Hinn, and there are many other statements like that from many other people. Every time a Christian makes a remark like that, it confirms in the homosexual's mind the rightness of what he's doing.
Let's talk for a moment about the power of social media, as well as Eminem, and he is not alone. There are all kinds of lyrical attacks on homosexuals that have been features of rap and hip-hop music for decades. So the question that you answer in the Christian Research Journal, a question I'd like to have you answer on the broadcast as well, is who is more likely to be influencing disturbed, violent-prone teens? The conservative clergyman down the block whose church most adolescents avoid, or the man at the microphone many teens pay to listen to?
Well, there you have it. I think the answer is self-evident, because as I tried to show in this article, Hank, statistics show that today's teenagers are far less likely to be influenced by the church than they are by popular music or by their peers. So the only way I could see blaming the church for stirring up hatred against homosexuals would be if the church had tremendous clout with teenagers today. You know, if the majority or even half of today's teens were listening very carefully to to what Bible teachers on the radio are saying and what their local preacher is saying, and if the local preacher or Bible teacher was in fact saying that people should go out and commit violent acts against homosexuals, then I would say absolutely the church is responsible for these suicides. But neither one of those scenarios is happening. Number one, despite the fact that there are extreme things that have been said from the pulpit that should not be said against homosexuals, the fact is the vast majority, and I mean the vast majority, of preachers and teachers who teach the traditional view on sexuality are certainly not saying we should go out and beat up homosexual people. To say something is a sin is not by any stretch the same as saying that you should go out and mistreat the person who commits that sin. And I think common sense tells us that. So first, that message has not, by and large, gone out. Secondly, kids, unfortunately, are not, by and large, listening as much to the church as they are to other voices. So when you break down these accusations that preachers are responsible for influencing teenagers to bully their gay schoolmates, and as a result, their gay schoolmates are committing suicide, it's illogical, it's unsubstantiated, it is simply and completely not true.
Talking to Joe Dallas, the article in the Christian Research Journal titled, "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Joe, want to get to the other side of this issue for a moment. Churches are changing rapidly. It is in vogue today in mainline evangelical churches, just like in mainline liberal churches, to now say that the Bible's view on homosexuality is outdated. We have evolved to a point of recognizing that the message should be liberated from the biblical teaching such that we recognize we've moved on, truth has moved on, and we should take a new position. Talk about the shift within the church with respect to a message on homosexuality and how it can actually hurt the very people we're trying to reach.
Yeah, it's a strange shift, isn't it? Because the people who are promoting it, by and large, are not promoting such a shift in other areas. Now, I know there are emergent teachers and more liberal teachers who promote a general shift away from the whole concept of biblical authority and so forth. But among a number of allegedly conservative leaders, why the shift is only in this area, where they're basically saying that either the Bible does not really condemn homosexual behavior, or it's at least ambiguous enough on the subject that we shouldn't make an issue of it. And you'll hear more and more evangelical leaders saying that the Bible is really silent on homosexuality, so we should be as well, or that it's such a vague and secondary issue that we can just agree to disagree, but really within the church body, hey, if you're engaging in sexual relationships with the same sex or with the opposite sex, it's all the same. God loves you. Let's all just be together. And this is a growing trend that's being supported by names that are very familiar to all of us. And as I said, Hank, we're going to see more of this.
Joe, one of the issues that I'm concerned with is the trend within our youth that homosexuality is okay. It's just an alternate, viable lifestyle. It's okay. And the moment you hear someone speak out against it as though the Bible condemns it in a very specific, non-ambiguous way, that person is dated. What do you think?
Well, that too is the trend. Of course, we know that this upcoming generation, or today's adolescents and young adults, is largely a post-Christian generation in that they largely have abandoned the idea of the authority of Scripture and the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as being the only way to the Father. And so when you drop those basic parameters of a Christian worldview, you're going to probably take a very broad view of just about everything. And that is a generation largely, hugely influenced by television, which is largely, hugely pro-gay in its position. And so to a generation raised with essentially a pro-gay viewpoint in the culture, the idea of speaking against homosexuality seems to them to be akin to the racism of the early 60s and 1950s that predated the civil rights movement. So we've certainly got our work cut out in striving to articulate in a calm and reasonable way the biblical position on human sexuality, because the teens of today, I think, would listen to what you and I have said so far, Hank, and just be rolling their eyes thinking, where did these Neanderthals come from? It really is a very different world, and it's changed very quickly.
Thanks to Joe. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.